Okay, thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. President, Council, you're going to see history made today, and by that, I mean you're going to see a 61-year-old one-eyed man give his first PowerPoint. And I've been told by Mr. Guy that the county clicker is missing, so I'm just going to say click chip every time when it's time to change click the slide. He is the clicker.
I've heard chip referred to in a lot of ways, but never as the clicker.
Click chip.
Chipper the clicker.
Oh, you will now.
I had all kinds of suggestions from office staff as to how to get his attention to click anything from throwing things at him to using rubber bands or doing noises like that, but... There have been packets put at the back of the room, I understand. These packets are in black and white, and I know with the black and white printing, it was difficult to see the exact lines. What is on the, which will be posted today, will be in color, and it'll be much easier to see the actual lines on the maps. And Mr. Guy, I'm running out of stall talk. I'm running out of the additional things here.
We're ready.
You're ready? Okay. If you won't, click chip. Okay, on the facts on redistricting, the population of Sussex County is 197,145 people based on the result of the 2010 U.S. Census. And as you know, redistricting is required every 10 years following the census so that we can equally redistribute the population among council districts in compliance with the one-man, one-vote rulings. Given the 2010 census figures, each council district must be within plus or minus 5% of an ideal population of 39,429 residents, containing no fewer than 37,458 residents and no more than 41,401 residents. And I can tell you the numbers we're going to show today are much better than that 5% there. We have a lot less tolerances. On the need for redistricting, two of the five current council districts are outside the bounds of the acceptable and required deviation based on the 2010 census figures. District 1 is below the deviation, thus creating the need to expand its geographical boundaries, and District 3 is above the deviation, thus creating need to contract its geographical boundaries. Neither district is adjoining that required, so therefore it requires a minimum of three districts to be altered to put all five districts within the acceptable deviation. Our goals, which I somewhat outlined at the last report that I gave 2 weeks ago. One, we wanted an impartial process. Secondly, we wanted to change council districts as little as possible. Third, we did not want to undo what voters have done or chosen. Four, we wanted to avoid placing current council members within the same district. Next item, we want to keep together communities of interest. Next, we want to look at both current and historical trends and data. And then lastly, we want to ensure the increases in the population match the increases in representation. In this case, areas east of 113, where most of the growth has taken place. On managing the redistricting process, most of you know my background. I'm a practicing attorney since 1976. I have consulted the Delaware House of Representatives Majority Caucus and Delaware Senate Minority Caucus on redistricting in 1991 and in 2002, respectively, and a lifelong resident of Sussex County. To counterbalance my input, I asked a self-professed Yellow Dog Democrat to help. We have 20 years experience in drafting redistricting maps for Delaware House, Delaware Senate, and County Council in 1991, 2001, 2002. He is a lifelong Sussex Countyan, and he's a prominent historian who's authored a number of books about county and Delaware and its political history. also needed a set of eyes and a driver during much of the process. So I enlisted the aid of Ryan Adams as a senior intern. He's enrolled in the honors program at Christopher Newport University in Virginia. Unfortunately, he is unable to attend today. I didn't realize that he was going back to college last week. His price was right. This was a free internship. And I would like to point out that Mr. Carter is here today. He's sitting on the second row behind Mr. Lank. Mm-hmm. Next item is the map, and we're just going to briefly put it up, and then we will go on to the next slide. It's proposed district's demographics. The reason we broke everything down is just not a matter of getting the numbers right. We want to look, and we needed to look at certain things, you know, were there based upon race and other factors, things that we needed to look at in order to come up with a number. So we looked at the racial makeup in each of the district. And one of the things that is interesting, if anyone questions the neutrality of the districts, if you look at the political breakdown in each of the districts has a slight edge towards the Democrat, the Democrats, and they are very close, all except one. They're within 1% of the deviation. And that's not a requirement, but that's just to show that there is balance in the districts. So we started with District 1, appropriately. Because of the population changes, this district had to expand to capture more residents. We really, there were two options. We could go north or south, but south we quickly deleted as an option due to the fact if we move south, we would end up with two councilmen, current councilmen in the same district, and that was in conflict with our stated goal. So what we ended up having to do was move north, and as a result, in order to get the required deviation, we had to move far enough north that we picked up Bridgeville in this map, which moved Bridgeville from District 2 to District 1. Now, this District 1 is a wholly contained in western Sussex, which includes Laurel, Seaford, and Bridgeville. District 2. District 2, obviously, because it lost some population because of the shift of District 1 boundaries northward and lost Bridgeville, and also because it needed to be in the accepted deviation, and District 3 needed to lose, so we ended up shifting east. And we shifted, the district shifted east, and you can go to the next point, Chip. District shifted east of Route 113 and encompasses portions of southern Milford area. Now, this district was already east of 113 in the Georgetown area. It had been prior to this shift, but we've also shifted it up in the south Milford area. As a result of this shift, this is the first of four districts with more than 50% of its population east of 113. 56% of this population, based on the 2010 census, lives east of 113. The next district, District 3, because of the population increase, the boundaries had to contract. The changes proposed are in keeping with stated goal of making as few changes as possible to the districts. With the geographical limitations to the east, obviously, the bay, the changes had to be achievable mainly in the northern part of the district, and that was in the South Milford area where the District 2 picked up. This now becomes the first of two districts with 100% of its population east of 113, and it is the second of four districts with more than 50% of its population east of 113. District 4. District 4 was already within the mandated deviation and thus required no changes. As such, it is the second of two districts with 100% of its population east of 113, and it is the third of four districts with more than 50% of its population east of 113. And District 5. This district likewise was already within the mandated deviation and thus required no changes. There are some slight changes and adjustments warranted by the new House and Senate overlay lines.
And the reason for- It doesn't show up. It looks like it's all yellow to me, or maybe I'm colorblind. Can you point to it?
It's on your map.
It's on the map.
Well, they don't have a map.
They got the copies of their map for.
If you look at this black line right here, that's the boundary line between District 5 and District 1, or whatever the other districts are.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Thank you. And I said you had a one-eyed man running this thing. I can't see well. This is the fourth. The minor changes were a result of overlay lines of the House and Senate, which will be creating new election districts. So that's why they had to make so there wouldn't be just small pockets of population caught outside. This is the fourth of four districts with more than 50% of its population east of 113. 54% of the population of this district, based on the 2010 census, lives east of 113.
Mr. Moore, on the PowerPoint that will be posted online and in the printed color editions, that color there of District 5 is more of a pink or salmon color. It actually does show up well on the printed. But here, I guess because of the display.
Thank you. Okay, in summary, because of the population changes, a minimum of two of the five districts are outside the required deviation. The proposed maps avoid any two current council members from being contained within the same district. For the first time in history, four of five council districts have a majority of their constituents east of 113. Three council members will continue to represent areas along the Atlantic coastline, districts 3, 4, and 5, and one council member, district 3, would represent areas along the Atlantic Bay coastline, and no municipalities have been divided. The next steps and where we go from here, as you recall, the process began at the county level in June 2011 with public invitation for suggestions. That was the first time we had that additional opening. I and our consultant have since prepared maps and presented to council in public review. We are now, this will be the first time we have this additional process. We're allowing the public to view these draft maps on the county website, and that is included there. Comments will be received via email, standard mail, through 4:30 p.m. Friday, September 2nd. And then I will come back and report to you at the next meeting of County Council. I'm going to take all the feedback we receive from the public and from council and report to you on Tuesday, September 13th. Based on council's direction at that time, we can finalize maps and an ordinance written for formal introduction. Then the maps and ordinance will be subject to a public hearing to be scheduled after they're drafted. And then following the public hearing, the council can adopt the map. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, sir.
One little question?
Sure.
You said about you're going to start accepting comments. Can you accept them now? We've just presented this proposed map, so is the public able to participate before this public hearing?
No, this is not a public hearing.
I know that. I mean, our organizations or individuals, can they start making their comments now based on this map, or do they have to wait?
I know. We're going to post it immediately,
fact,
I think.
It may be posted now if IT is listening.
Just a question. I wanted to know if people are...
Absolutely. It's posted
and
now.
And the press can maybe put that in, the comments will be welcomed.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes. That is correct.
And then will they be made part of the record as when we go into the...
Absolutely. And I will give a report on the 13th with comments and input.
Okay. And then still they can come at the public hearing and make...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Just... All right.
Thank you.
Moore. Thank you.
Baker.
And thank that yellow dog Democrat. Thank you, sir.
Nice to see you.
Emphasis is on...
Okay. And we do have large individual maps for the council persons, too, that we'll pass out.
Thank you very much.
It is posted now, Mr. President.
Pardon me?
It is posted now. I just had word from IT. Everything's up.
Oh, it's now on the website.
Thank you. But I just wanted to know about comments, and I think we can start.
Yes. And they have until, like, September 2nd. Is that right?
And Everett, the comments should go where? Not the individual councilman, maybe to?
There is two spots noted on the website. There is a web address as well as a spot to mail those.
So maybe, again, the press could say, look for those addresses.
And I believe it is on the packet that we handed out with the address that the press has.
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like for me to state it for email? Send emails to redistricting@sussexcountyde.gov. For standard mail, it should be addressed to the Clerk of the Council, P.O. Box 589, Georgetown, Delaware, 19947.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That clears that up.
74.
Mr. Baker? 4-7. That's why you haven't been
getting any mail. That's what it is.
The next item is performance bond for the estates of Sea Chase. The county is holding a site improvement performance bond for a project, the estates of Sea Chase, in the amount of $236,553. There is about $30,000 of punch list type items that need to be included, including fixing some various drainage issues and repair to some roads, and also some work regarding swales. There's also a requirement to build a clubhouse with restrooms beside the pool. The developer had obtained a building permit to build the clubhouse, but has not done any work. We did receive a letter from the developer this week that was also included in your packet. Developer Mr. Rubino has requested the county use some sewer connection fees received for oversizing sewer work for the work to be done, but at this time we are recommending that we not use those funds for the sewer work, but that we not use these funds for other work, the road work and whatnot, that we maintain those funds for sewer work. Mm-hmm. And we are recommending the council consider calling the bond, and Mr. Vince Robertson is also here to discuss this.
Good morning again. Mr. Baker explained, I think, the basic gist of this. As I think everybody realizes, this is a project where there's just a few items left to complete, but there are ones that have remained outstanding for quite some time, and there's been discussions back and forth, and even deadlines set by the developer that passed without any work being completed. So it's the recommendation of the county that we do seek payment under this bond to complete the work that needs to be done. And unless there's any questions, I have a motion to that effect.
Any questions, Council?
No, we don't have any other options, what I see.
Motion, sir.
Take it.
I move that we direct the Sussex County Engineering Department to obtain payment under Site Improvement Performance Bond number SU3490434, issued by Utica Mutual Insurance Company, for the estates of Sea Chase to complete the required work within that project.
Make a motion.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and I'm glad we have the bond.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you very much.
Next item is a letter of credit for a project called Holland Mills, and Mr. Izzo is going to discuss that.
Good morning. Mr. Baker had asked if I could give a presentation regarding the letter of credit for the Holland Mills project. This one's a little different than the estates of Sea Chase in that there is active work going on at the site. However, the letter of credit as it exists is due to expire on September 5th, which is before the County Council will meet again. So it kind of requires us to come in and pass a caveat type motion, a conditional motion, that if it's not extended by September 5th, we would have to go in and take action at that time. Again, the project number is 417. The name is Holland Mills. The developer is the Holland Mills Development LLC. The contact person is Preston Dyer. The location is located on the south side of Walker Road, County Road 260, in the Milton area. We actually have two letters of credit on this project. One is a Public Works letter of credit. That letter of credit will not expire until March of 2012, so we're in good shape there. However, we have a second letter of credit for the stormwater, which is controlled by the Sussex Conservation District. And I should mention we have with us today Jessica Watson from the Conservation District, if you have any questions for Jessica. Now, this particular letter of credit, the amount is $72,937.50. As I mentioned, it will not expire until September 5, 2011. One minor difficulty with that is that September 5th is Labor Day, so I don't have the luxury of waiting until Labor Day. In reality, going back on the previous Thursday, September 2nd, or excuse me, I think that's September 1st, I would have to submit the draft to the bank, which they would receive the following day. I generally have to FedEx these to the bank. So I actually have to take action and submit the recall notice on September 1st, which means I really need to have this letter of credit extended by the previous day, by the end of business on August 31st. Okay, just the remaining work, it's mainly there's two existing stormwater ponds. Jessica has been working actively with both the developer and the contractor. Stabilization work on ponds 2 and 3, soil testing. It appears they may have a problem with infiltration, so there's some soil testing to determine the rate of infiltration. Topsoiling, reseeding, outfall swales need to be regraded and stabilized. And then pond number 2 appears to have specific areas that need to be regraded and stabilized. Jessica estimates the cost of this work in the $20,000 to $25,000 range, and that's the extent of the project. Our hope, and if you recall, we actually came in back in June. There was a project called Herring Point in a very similar situation when council was going to take the summer break. I came in and passed a conditional motion. However, the letter of credit was extended in time and no further action was required. And I fully expect that's going to be the situation here.
Mm-hmm. Questions of council? Mm-hmm. Do you have a motion?
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize its county engineer and finance director to take action to draw funds from the letter of credit number 166008829 held by Artisans Bank in order to complete construction or procure others to complete the construction of project number 417 Holland Mills, should the amended letter of credit not be provided to the engineering department by the close of business on August 31, 2011.
That's my district. I'll introduce it. I'll make a motion.
I think that we got a letter from Rubino and asked to be read into the minutes. Were you aware of the letter?
I'm not familiar with
that was the previous. That was regarding the estates of Sea Chase.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I did mention that. I did mention that and summarize that.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Just didn't want to miss that. Okay, we're fine.
Motion,
Mrs. Neighbor, second.
Move a little
too fast. Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to catch you up. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Neighbor. I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson.
Has this guy been talked to about, he's going to have to come over and check 6 days earlier?
Yes. We've been, Michelle Warren and my staff has been working with the bank, Artisans Bank, and we fully expect to have this letter of credit extended, and yes. Mr. Dyer was incorporated in the process as well as the representative from Artisans Bank.
If I was expecting you to check on the 5th or whatever, and you come and go to me to give it to you a week sooner, not knowing.
No, the bank's got the money. Mr. Dyer, yeah, he's already proffered the money up to the bank.
We have.
So it's already in an account.
Okay.
We have discussed it with the bank and also with the developer.
We don't get it from the
individual. Anticipate having the letter of credit approved tomorrow.
Okay.
So
$73,000 for stormwater ponds, right?
Well, that was the original value of the work. It's approximately $20,000 to $25,000 remaining.
Question on a motion?
have a question. Infiltration coming into one of the ponds, is that fresh water, like a spring coming in or something?
No, this would be the opposite. The stormwater coming into the pond perks out.
All right, good. Thank you.
Stormwater pump, the stormwater goes into the pond, leaves the sediments, and the hole's dug closer to your groundwater than it pollutes your groundwater sooner. That's the way it works.
There you go.
Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Rizzo.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker?
Yes, the next item, Mr. Hal Godwin has been working on the adequate public facilities ordinance proposal, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Godwin. Mm-hmm.